town business. You know, we did a town hall meeting. Today we're going to have an organizing panel to talk about different organizing that's going on around the country in particular, but around this case, you know, specifically. So, you know, just to talk a little bit about what we got going on a little bit later, we got a panel with Martina Correa, a.k.a. Davis, the sister of Troy Anthony Davis, who many know and many may not know, who's on death row in Georgia, where the U.S. government is fighting on whether if it's constitutional to kill a potentially innocent man. We believe innocent man. So she'll talk a little bit about his case. We got Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. from Chicago, head of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, former political prisoner. Minister Keith, who's been one of the leaders in the anti-police terrorism movement in the area, not just with the Oscar Grant case, not a Johnny Come Lately, but somebody who's been, you know, on it for a while. So that's what we got coming up. But first, what we're going to bring is Rekia. She's from Oakland Cop Watch. And although we know that the police don't always acknowledge your quote-unquote rights, your human rights, she going to tell us what they are so at least we know. You know, as the first line of defense.
Thank you, Mr. Joy, for the invitation. I really do appreciate it. Assalamu alaikum. So we clearly know that police brutality exists, is going on, right? Specifically, what I wanted to talk to you about today, and I have about 10 minutes, is what Oakland Cop Watch is. I wanted to go through three stops just to insert a moment of education. And then I also wanted to give you guys an opportunity to come up to some of us and to connect with us and let us know if you're interested in helping us out on the streets late at night when we go out. So essentially we frame ourselves, and we're just a group of folks who are concerned. We live in Oakland. This is new to us. Cop watching goes on all over the country. Berkeley has been doing cop watch for a while. And a bunch of Oakland citizens have pretty much come together and they're like, okay, what we need is we need a method or a mechanism to go out on the streets between 9 p.m. and 1 or 2 a.m. with cameras, and we need to just find cops where they pull over people, when they stop people, and start rolling the camera on them. Right? And so essentially what we're doing is we're asserting our First Amendment rights to just be witnesses and to observe cops. And the whole point of it is that we've lost faith in a system that has legitimized itself, right, by us not necessarily directly challenging it, but has legitimized itself by oppressing people, right? And by brutalizing people and by conditioning folks to submit to that authority. And by submitting or by being afraid of the cops, legitimizing the moral authority of the cops in a police state, right? And so some of us are basically saying, we have no faith in this system, okay? And what we wanna do is exercise a cop watching monitoring system where we go out in groups of four, groups of two, where we have, you know, cameras, where we have video cameras as well, and where we essentially watch police conduct. We're watching for police misconduct. We're watching for police corruption. We're also watching for psychic, you know, mental, physical ways that police are exerting racism. That's pretty much it, and we want to document that. Okay, so cop watching essentially is we educate folks about knowing their rights. We educate folks about how to go out there and how to interact with the police. We're not legitimizing, we're not believing in the system and saying we are legitimizing your presence on the street. What we're saying to them is by virtue of us being with them, with cops, when cops are pulling over people, when cops are searching people, we're essentially saying that our presence here delegitimizes you, right? It's saying that we don't trust in your moral authority, and so we're rolling the camera. And what it's essentially our agenda is to take the footage and either, you know, compile some sort of database where we're saying that we want to use this for a class action suit. Maybe it's to come up to City Hall like we did last night and say something, you know, in front of folks, whether it's to essentially log what are some bad arrest practices, you know, and get technical like that. Or maybe, you know, maybe all we're doing is just being out there on the streets and hoping that our presence will just make cops a little more conscious of folks rolling a camera on them, all right? So what I'd like you guys to do, if you could help us out, because some of us are going out there, we're just like figuring out the rights, our know your rights situation. What we would like is just to throw out some of the three stops that police normally engage when they make contact with the public, what they're doing. And we would like, just if you could shout out some descriptions of what police have done for you. And we're just going to take note of that so that when we're out on the streets late at night, we're watching for some of these things, okay? I don't know if some of you got the ditto that we printed out. I hope you do. I hope you have it in your hand. But there are three stops. The first stop is a consensual stop, okay? So just real quick. Police officers can stand and patrol, and they can just be like, hey, what's up? How you doing today, right? And that's just essentially engaging with you through conversation. The moment you say, oh, I'm good. How you doing, back officer? You've engaged and you've essentially agreed to a consensual stop with a police officer, okay? So if a police is like, oh, it's sunny today, you know, or hey, so you're carrying a heavy load today, the moment you engage with them, you've agreed to it. And so it's really important for you to say, am I being detained, officer? Am I free to go? And that's it. Walk away, right? So I just want to ask folks, and I hope you can just throw it out for us, have you been consensually stopped at any point, and what does that look like? Just shout it out for us. If not, we'll just move on. Has a police officer engaged with you in any way randomly on the street? Traffic stops. Thank you. Okay, so traffic stops. So we're just going to be out watching how the police are interacting with folks who are in vehicles, who are not stopping, whatever, right? Last night there was a woman who was stopped. She was handcuffed. It was an older black female with another older black female. They were handcuffed right by MacArthur BART. And before we knew it, the police essentially put them in two separate cars and one. We were cop watching at that time. The second kind of stop is a detention. So a police officer, if they have reasonable suspicion, which means that they're connecting you to a crime that has occurred or a crime that is going on, they will detain you. Now, they can either handcuff you. They don't have to handcuff you, but a lot of times we know that they will. And this is on an individual-to-individual basis. So when they detain you, they're essentially... they're doing an investigation, and I think it's really important you know that. So if you're like, officer, am I free to go? And the officer says no, then you say, am I being detained? And if the officer says yes, they don't have to tell you why they're stopping and detaining you, because they're actually undergoing an investigation, and they don't want to compromise the investigation. I think it's really important for you to always verbally say, and again, please note that this is a case-by-case basis. We know that police interact with different people in different ways, and so we're not saying that this is the monolithic way the cops are supposed to interact with you, because we know that they break the law themselves all the time, right? When they detain you, do not give them consent to search you. They can pat you down on the external parts of your body. They can pat you down to see if you're carrying a weapon, but they cannot go into your pockets or search your bag unless you give them consent. So they might be like, you're carrying a heavy bag, open up that bag, and you're like, I do not consent to you searching my bag, officer. And it's really important that you say that really clearly and loudly, so that witnesses who are just passing by on the street hear you, or so that it just can be spoken for the record. I do not consent for you to search my bag. I do not consent for you to search my pockets. And they might even push into you and search your pockets and search your bag. And they probably will do that because they're cops, right? And what you must continually say is, I do not consent to this search, right? Anybody been detained here? Anything that we as cop watchers need to look out for? Yes, sir.
We got a DUI.
Okay.
They pulled me over, and once they found out, I told them where I was coming from. Actually, it was one of these town hall meetings.
All right.
And they just went belligerent.
Okay.
Took me down and gave me a DUI.
Thank you. Any other examples of detainment? Yes, ma'am.
I was detained by a BART police officer allegedly for fare evasion when I had a bus pass. I was on an AC Transit bus. I don't even know why they would remove me, but I was basically assaulted and got arrested and was held for 14 hours. And what is this, Glenn Dyer jail?
Okay, so held for 14 hours, and you don't know why they pulled you off the bus?
Allegedly, the bus driver said I cut someone in line, but that's not a crime.
Right. So. Okay. All right, so randomly pulling people off the buses?
To cover up an assault, he said I resisted arrest. So can you talk about how a detention can turn into an arrest?
Yes, ma'am.
So essentially a detention, a detention is, just to clarify again, the cops have reasonable suspicion that you are connected to some crime that has happened or has or is currently happening, and they're investigating you. Now, once an arrest happens, they have evidence, and that's called probable cause, right? So probable cause, they have evidence that they're clearly linking you to something that has happened, a crime, that they're deeming a crime, right? At this point, they have to tell you why they're arresting you. They must. If they're detaining you, they don't. But if by the way, during detainment, you should constantly ask, am I free to go? Because sometimes what they'll do is they'll just like detain young kids and handcuff them to like stop signs, handcuff them on the streets, right? And what they do is they have their other cop cars roll by with somebody who they're trying to identify this kid has been, you know, involved in a crime. And they do that a lot with our young people, right? So arrest is they have connected you to something and they have evidence. Okay, and at that point you should just continually say, I need to speak to a lawyer, I'm not speaking to nobody, pretty much. Yes, sir.
Basically, that's not true. If you ask them, am I free to go, their turn to something like you being aggressive and don't
yep.
want to comply, or,
yep.
you know, they'll make it seem like something other than.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. Like I said, this is a case-by-case basis. They interact with you differently than they interact with me, right? And that's just the reality. Yes. Yes, that's really good. All right. And actually, when they stop you and detain you, they will ask you for your name, your ID, right? It's not illegal to not carry ID. They can make it illegal just by saying it because it's an intimidation tactic. A lot of what they're doing, as you're pointing out, is they're intimidating us, right? They're trying to condition us mentally to submit to them, right?
If I get stopped for driving radically or anything else, my muffler fell off my car.
Right.
When I went to pull over, they were going past, they busted U-turn and came back
mm-hmm.
to see, I guess, why my muffler was dragging.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out of the car, that's when all that took place.
Mm-hmm.
Passed the little tests and everything,
mm-hmm.
passed the blood test and everything,
mm-hmm.
it still took me down.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they do that as a tactic to assert their authority over us. Right? Right. And so there is a way of, I think it's really important that when we cop watch, again, when we're cop watching or when you're just interacting with the police, that you do know how you're going to mentally resist that assertion of authority to submit us, right? And I think that a way of doing that is knowing how you choose to speak to them, knowing how you choose to interact with them, and knowing what to say to determine how they're going to interact to you, even though you pretty much in the control of cops who brutalize people, we don't have total control over that interaction. But I think in defense of how you're going to protect yourself, it's really important to know what to say that, you know, in that contact that they made, right? Lastly, do you guys have any questions, just real quick?
Well, yes, ma'am. How do you go about doing this? Do you send out a group of people to certain locations? So how do you actually go about doing this?
So basically, again, we're just forming. We're a very young, very new group. We're looking for new members, especially people of color, straight up. That's what we need. We need folks of color in communities of color to be engaged. Basically, we go out in groups of four. Some of us drive, some of us walk on the street late at night. We have a camera rolling. 9 p.m. last Friday, we were out in downtown Oakland, East Oakland, on International, on High Street. We were in downtown Berkeley as well, and on the UC Berkeley campus, because UC Berkeley campus police are actually really notorious. And we have the camera rolling. So we see a cop car pull over somebody, or a cop just harassing people. We park our car, or we walk up and forth, right? We have our hands up, we roll the camera, and typically we stand on the corner, right, of where they are. Now cops have this thing where, like you said in the bag, sir, that they will just slap an arrest onto you, or they'll say, you know, we're slapping you with Penal Code 148, you're resisting, delaying, or interfering with an officer. And they will do that to some of us too. And they did that to one of our partners, Derek, who was cop watching, right? It was totally unfounded. And so we just roll the camera, and sometimes they're like, get back, and they get real aggressive with us. They're gonna be like, get back, and they're screaming at us. I said to get back, you're interfering with an officer. And what we do is we raise our hands, and we just keep the camera rolling. We say, you know what, we're not here to interfere. We're here to legally watch you, because we have the right to legally watch you. And we just stand there and keep rolling the camera. typically when the police let people go, we go up to them and we give them a card and we check in with them. We're like, yo, how did the cop interact with you? Do you feel like your rights were violated? If you have any questions, please call us and give us your card. Just to know the rights.
Yes, ma'am. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So, like, have you ever found someone, like, a cop guilty of, like, I'm sure you have, but, like, guilty of, like, unjust arrest and arresting or harassing people?
So definitely yes, and I think there's a lot of footage that we have at the Berkeley Cop Watch office.
Yes. Well, I have another question. So do you report them, or how does that work?
So this is the big question, because we are a group that is still forming. We're trying to figure out what do we do with the footage we're getting, right? And I think we do need some, like, knowledge and some suggestions for that. I think it's really important that we know that the police, you know, police may have a lot of protections. You know, there's this Peace Officers Bill of Rights that protects them and protects their employment records from being seen by us, the cops, right? And so on some level, what we're trying to think of is we'll go through this footage and be like, how can we use this to show the worst practices of the police, and to do it through, one, legal channels, right? To compile it, like, some sort of statement. I mean, I think we're not even sure. All we're doing right now is, we're so young, we're just going out on the streets and rolling footage. And I think that's the best we can do right now, because we don't have the infrastructural capacity, right, to even, like, document stuff just yet. We're not even at that point. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to use this, either legally or not. Yes, sir.
We've been going out also patrolling different parts of East Oakland and West Oakland.
Okay.
So we would love to work with you guys. Also, we've been experiencing the same thing as far as the police being real aggressive when you come and watch you observing something.
Right.
And we didn't have them call 5 or 6 police cars on us, you know, to watch, you know, what we was doing.
Right.
But so I experienced that a lot of people that's on probation or parole have more, you know, what is the rights really for them? Because really, I know a lot of people might get asked, are they ID and name?
Yeah.
Majority of us get called, are we on parole or probation? And that just gives you the right to do anything,
right,
with a lot of brothers think.
And we've been talking about that because of these search clauses where, you know, there's that concept, jail without bars, right? And so people who are on probation or parole can get searched at any point. And they can search your bags, right? And at some level, you know, as cop watchers, we're talking about this, we're like, how do we not dehumanize the situation any further? And some people get really embarrassed, right? They don't want people rolling cameras on them. They're like, oh, please, just, you know, just go away. And we need to first respect them, right? Because they're being disrespected. And the cops are just totally exerting that authority over them. And I think that's something we as a community need to talk about. Like, what do we do in that situation? I know I probably don't have that much time. Okay, one more question.
Real quick, one of the incidents we had on 78, the brother, after he left and they was towing his car, he came and told us, the police officer said, because the Black Panthers was watching, we're going to tow your car. And he was mad at us for standing watching. Well, his grandmother told him, shut up. But, you know, he was mad at us, what the officer told him.
I mean, the other thing maybe we can all think about and talk about, and we'd love to come back and connect with you guys, is, you know, this issue of alternative justice, right? Justice in our community. And at a meeting recently, a woman was trying to assert healing in our community. And Ms. Minister J.R. rightly pointed out, you know, we need justice in order to heal. Right? And there's something very empowering, one, to stand there and watch cops and overcome that fear and say, yeah, I can be here. And that dual justice, there's a personal justice, I think, that's happening, as well as, like, we're watching you because we don't believe in you, right? We're demoralizing what you stand for. But I think we have to start thinking about how to sort of support each other on a community level, how to support each other as cop watchers, how to have each other's back, but also how to get out of the community. And I think that's why we're here. How do we get out in West Oakland or East Oakland and start talking to people on the street so they know who we are, right? And so they're like, okay, it's the cop watchers. They can alert us if something's going down wherever, or they'll know how to interact with us, and we'll know how to interact with them. And I think that we're still experimenting with all of this right now. So we would definitely like to talk.
So how do you volunteer?
Please either contact one of us, myself or Mr. Shane, who's around here somewhere, or email us. I can also leave my phone number. Feel free to call.
Thank you.
Okay, OaklandCopWatch@gmail.com. Thank you so much.